So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Torah Mem Zayin, 47, Likutei Moharan, and Rabbeinu told us about the Holy Land, that it receives its power from the man of truth. It's the righteous man of the generation. He is the man of truth. And then the Holy Land got her, Baruch Hashem, got her ways to share, to spread, to influence the bounty, the holy good that is coming to Eretz Israel, to the rest of the lands, to all of the world. And this is how people are waking up in foreign lands, in other places, because someone is doing his job right in the Holy Land. So, okay, you have salvations. והוא גם כן בחינות תפילין שנקראים פאר שהוא מידת יעקב ועל כן נקראת ארץ ישראל איילה שלוחה הנותן אמרי שפר. And this is why the Holy Land got a certain name, a very special and unique name, a female deer that is running, הנותן אמרי שפר, that speaks beautiful words, that says wonderful things. כמו שדרשו רזל, like that our holy rabbis taught us, כלומר, ארץ ישראל, it means that the Holy Land is an איילה שלוחה, is a good messenger, a female deer, לבשל פירותיה, to prepare the fruits to be sweet, and to send them, to sell them in a very high price in the market in the US that everyone wants to eat fruits from the Holy Land. No, we're kidding. This is the physical aspect of it. But spiritually, to have positive thoughts and good vibes and energies around the world, it's coming from the Holy Land. People doing their job right here, and someone in Virginia, he says, hey, you know, maybe I'm going to come closer to the truth. Maybe I'm going to find myself. Maybe I'm going to do something good with my life. Maybe I'm going to spend 1 hour talking to the Creator. Suddenly he... Who is that? What is Judaism? He starts seeking. He starts asking questions. What, really, what's all of this new noise about Israel, Palestine? What's going on? He starts searching. And this is religious. Oh, Haredim. Oh, what's that? Breslev. What are they doing? Dancing on cars. Oh, what's Rabbi Nachman of Breslev? And after 4 years, you have a convert that sits and learns Torah and putting tefillin. And Rav Dror, I have a question. How is it happening? Because someone was doing his job right. There is an amazing story on Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz that he had. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, his father's name was Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi. And Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi, they lived in a village in Hungary, in a village that the name of that village was Urshave. And there was a lot of violence between the non-Jews to the Jews over there. But there was a young kid that wasn't a Jew. He was a Hungary kid. And he was always beaten by people, by friends, by kids, other kids that were hitting him. And he had a very hard time. And Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz was a man of grace, of chesed, of kindness. So every time he saw that kid suffers and being beaten, so he would call him to his house and he was feeding him and helping him he was treating him, he was nice, he was helping him, healing him. And one day, his son, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, in the days before of the Holocaust, he was, let's say, 15 years old or 14 years old, and he asked his father, why are you helping this guy? Why are you helping this kid? What do you see in him that you chose to help him so much? So his father answered to him, Shlach lachmecha al pnei ha'mayim, ki birvot ha'yamim timtze'enu. You need to put your bread on the bank of the river, on the waves, and to let it go with the stream, do your charity, do your good thing, and with the years, with the days that will pass, you will find it. It will come back to you. You're seeding today. In a year, you'll harvest. You don't know what you do. You do good. You send your bread on the waves of the water. So you do good. That's what you do. After a few years, the Holocaust happened, horrible Holocaust, and Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz was 17 years old, and he went to the camps, to Auschwitz camp, and he was suffering wildly, crazy suffering. And in one of the days that he was walking in the camps between the running from one obligation to the other, from one work to the other, and he was starving, and he was like, he was going down, he was starving, he was weak, he was sick, he was like about to die. He felt horrible. And he was walking like all of the rest of the prisoners over there in front of the kitchen. Maybe, who knows what they're not allowed to get into the kitchen, but you know, still there's food over there, so you try in every opportunity that you have to walk close to the, maybe, you know, there's food. So he was walking over there and he was looking into the kitchen. Maybe some salvation will come from the kitchen of the camp. And suddenly he sees that kid, that non-Jew kid. And he's going and commanding, and he was an officer over there. He was also a prisoner, but he was a prisoner in a very high level, scale, and he was running the kitchen. He was the master chef. And so they made some eye contact, and he went out. And he and Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz would come to the kitchen every day, and he would give him food every day. And he supplied him food. And Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz said, without the charity of my father to that kid, I would not survive the camps. I would die for sure. Without his food feeding me, I would die for sure. So you see that sometimes you don't know what you do, but you're saving people's life. And that's supposed to be an attitude for life. That's who you're supposed to be. Because that's who you are. Not because that something will come from it. Something will come from it for sure, the results. You seed, for sure something will grow. But you're seeding because that's who you are. Another thing that Rabbi Nachman of Breslev rebuked his students, and he told them, you need to water trees. You need to be mashkim lashkot ilanot. That's the main job that you need to do in life. You need to water plants. You need to water trees. And it means the souls. Ki adam etz hasadeh, because the man, he's the tree of the field. So we need to water people. We need to convert people. We need to make animals in shape of people to become human beings, to be people. And it's not at all connected to if that person is a Jew, is not a Jew, he's a bnei noach, he's not a bnei noach, he's ger bepoal, ger bekoach. It's just helping everyone. Just helping everyone. That's our attitude. That's our approach. Who cares who that person is when he's hungry? His stomach shrinks in the same way. The sorrow that he feels when he's poor, being homeless, is equal. Who cares who you help? If you just need to help. And then you'll have miracles. So that's the nature of the Holy Land. And it receives its power from the midah of truth, shubchinat tiferet, that it's the glory, aspects of tefillin. So you see that when a person is searching for the truth, so then he will find the purpose, the meaning of his life. But you need to ask for the truth, not to ask for meaning. Oh, what's the meaning of my life? Are you on drugs? What are you asking? What's the meaning of my life? What are you using? Tell me, I'll tell you what to do. I'm looking for a meaning. No, you're not. You're just looking for another outlet. You try to run away from obligations. If you look for purpose, look for the truth. Who am I? A few maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, a student of mine asked me a question. For him, it was such a hard question. He felt such a sorrow to ask that question. He was so broken, and I understand this pain. He made a tattoo with a verse of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, with the letters, with Yud Kei Vav Kei on his arm. Great. It's reality. That's what he did. He made a tattoo with the name of the Creator on his arm. It's not allowed to do that. Probably was a mistake. At least it's not halachically right to do it. And now he is in a situation in his life. What's the situation? That every time that he goes to the mikveh, so Haredim are screaming at him, why you did it? What are you doing? How can you do something like that? And people are not respecting him and insulting him and not appreciating him and being judgmental and hard on him. And he himself doesn't understand what really happened with him. So he's got issues with himself. Why I was so stupid, why I was doing it, couldn't I make some nice dragon or a fairy or like everyone else, why I always need to be so special, so unique. So I'm going to remind you the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Beitza is saying, 2 years ago it was in Daf Hayomi of Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Gdola Avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. A sin for Hashem itbarach, if you sin for Hashem, it's greater even than to keep a mitzvah, but not for Hashem. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it, not me. In Masechet Beitza, the Gemara is saying that. So I'm asking you, when this guy decided one day of his life to carve, to make tattooed the name of the Creator on his arm, why do you think he did it? What was his intention? It's written that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, he is metzaref machshava lemaaseh. He is connecting the intention to the action. If you have a certain intention on doing something, so it means much more than what did you did. It means also all of the intention that you had. And if you didn't have an intention and you did something even big, like that example that we said, a rich person that will give a huge donation, but he, despite that poor person that he gives the money to, so he won't be rewarded on that charity. It's not charity at all. He will be punished on his hatred, on his bad thoughts, on despiting a Jew, despiting a poor person, for what? Based on what? Why? It won't be charity at all. He will be punished on that action. Why? Because the Creator, he is looking at your heart. He's asking for your intention. Who are you? So I'm asking you, that friend of mine that decided to tattoo the name of the Creator on his arm, what was he thinking in that day or in that week? How excited he was to do it, how happy he was, and what really he wanted to achieve. For sure, that was his way to express his love to the Creator. For sure, that was his way to serve the Creator, to connect himself, to bond himself, and to make the name of Hashem Yitbarach holy and famous and known in the world. That was his intention. And I'm telling you that he made a mitzvah. That it was a mitzvah that he was doing, not to do it today, not you. You won't have that intention. He, in that day, now let's see, the Creator now is looking from heaven on all of his children, and he sees his child now tattooing the name of the Creator on his arm. He's asking, hey, why are you doing that? And then he sees, because I want to make your name holier, because I want to make your name famous, because I want to make your name greater, because I want to connect myself to you. So you think that now the Creator will say, you're going to be punished on that. It's not allowed. No, no way. That's not the Creator that we're serving. That's not the master of the world. That's some silly leader, arrogant, that works by the book. Someone with no heart. A person with a heart, a Creator that created hearts. For sure he's got a heart. So for sure he understands the real intention of a person. There are ways to remove a tattoo. There are ways to move on from the tattoo. There are many, many solutions. But the main thing is to see, to recognize the truth. What is the truth? Why you're sinning? Why are you so confused? Why are you afraid? Why you don't have confidence? Why you were dating so many women, so many men? Why you were sinning? Why you were violating Shabbos, eating treif? If you're going to look deep to the roots of your soul, you will find over there not a guilty person, just a very scared and weak and terrified and wounded, confused person that doesn't really know how to choose and in which way to go and just seeking for love and to be loved and to feel some warmth and support and doesn't really know what to do with himself, all of the time being rebuked and being hurt and abused, even insulted. Like, he's looking for some outlet, some salvation, some escape plan, some window, some way to escape the sorrow, emotional sorrow that he's going through in life. So now he sees, okay, those guys are laughing. Those guys, it seems like they're having fun. So what do you want me to do? I'm not supposed to join them? If that's what I see in life when I grew up in that neighborhood, in that town, between those guys, and that's what I saw, sorrow, darkness, gray, poverty, anger, depression in my house. And over there, hey, they're playing, hey, they're running, hey, they're having fun, hey, they hear music. Oh, and it's kind of, you know, it makes me move also. It makes me want to join them also. What do you want from that kid? Can you blame him? The answer is, can you blame yourself? You cannot. We need to understand that being judgmental on people, being judgmental on ourselves, it's a lie. That's the real conspiracy of this world, to that the Yetzer Hara is playing with you and trying to erase your real identity, who that you really are, that you're a holy angel, that you're just an innocent person with no education, with no real guidings. So you were lost. Who will not go lost in a dark forest in the middle of the night with so many enemies? Who? Who? No one. No one can survive. No one can stay holy. It just depends in your eyes. If you recognize the good that you have, that's the truth. That's who you are. Ask yourself, do I want someone else to suffer? No. I want everyone to succeed? Yes. I want someone to be kicked out of his house? No. I want everyone to have houses? Yes. Do I want to eat alone, or I want to know that everyone got food? No, I want everyone to be happy. Okay, so who am I? That's you. You are not your scars. You are not your trauma. You are not your fears. I told you that wild midrash that is saying that after that, the first man and Eve, they sinned, so the Creator made a decree, a decision, and he said that they must leave heaven, the garden. So Adam HaRishon, the first man, he was terrified. He was so scared. Because over there in heaven, angels were cooking food for him and watching over him, and the animals were afraid of him, and all of the animals had respect to him. So it was his kingship. It was his place, kingdom. And he came to the Creator and he was crying, and he told him, I'm so scared to receive, to be punished, to receive that punishment, because when I'll go out from heaven, so I will be between all of the outsiders, means the demons, the ghosts, the bad spirits, to the darkness. And I don't have a vehicle. I don't have a body. I don't know, I don't have anything to protect me from those animals outside that will eat me alive. They will destroy me. I won't have a body to protect me. So Hashem told him, my decree stays as it is, you must go. but go and ask for a body from one of the animals in the garden. One of them will give you their body. So he went back with a solution, trying. For example, he went to the zebra and asking her, hey, shalom aleichem, how are you doing? So good to see you. Is the new pajama that you're wearing nice? Very good. Can you lend me your body for a few hours? I have something to do outside and I cannot go out without a vehicle. Of course, she shown him her back and went away. So he went to the giraffe and got the same answer, to the hippo, to the elephant, to all of the, everyone told him, see you, good luck, bless you. So he went back to Hashem and he told him, look, everyone refused, no one gives me his body, I don't know what to do. So he said, look, the one that made you sin, it's the snake. Go ask from him. He's the one that failed you, maybe he'll be your solution. So he went, Adam Rishon went to the snake and asked him, can you please give me your body because I don't have no body. So the snake, he was so nice to him. He told him, of course, it's all my fault. I feel so bad with myself hurting you. Really, I regret, but now I don't know what to do. For sure, I'll give you everything you need. And then it's written, "V'anachash haya arum," that the snake, he was naked because he undressed himself and gave his body to us. And if you want to see the snake, so look at the mirror. That's the snake. Your body is impure in the contamination of the snake. Mimishcha dechivya, from that bite, from the poison of the snake. So the snake asked for a few minutes to clean his body and to prepare it for Adam Rishon. And he put speakers inside of his body. And he, with Wi-Fi, the strongest Wi-Fi, still sits in his place and sending his messages to you all of the time. Lashon hara, lies to you, on you. Making you think that you are the snake. Telling you, look at yourself. You're so lazy, you don't have no hope. And you hear those voices from inside all of the time. Nothing good can come out of you. Look at you, you're so filthy, you're so disgusting, you're fat, you're ugly. Look at you, you're stupid. Again you did it. And he's just keep on slaughtering you alive. That's your body. That's the voice of the Yetzara. How do you call that? Evil... No, I can't do it again.
Evil inclination.
Inclination? You see, I can do it. If I can do it, you can do it too. Believe in yourself. So we just always need to define, to clarify, who am I? Am I that snake that is wrapping me, or I am that holy soul that is trapped in the exile, in that impure body? And that's the right answer. I am who that I am. I am who that I am. Who am I? I'm chelek Eloka mimal. I'm a divine spirit. I'm part of heaven. I'm part of Hashem. I'm righteous. I'm good. I'm pure. I'm holy. When that person passed away and now you see the body, is that the person? No. Where's the person? Already in heaven. You know that it's not him. You know that he went. That's why the body fell. And now, who want to have some connection to this body? We all want to, even though that we'll try to respect it, but we all rather to get rid of it, to put it underground and not ever seeing it again. That's not what we want to keep from that person. The person will stay only in our hearts, in our memory, in our dreams. Because that is the person, the spiritual side of the creation. And that's who you are. And that's who you need to connect with, to who that you really are. And that's the truth. Because all of the bad things that you hear about yourself, oh, you're too fat, oh, you walk too slow, all of those things are lies because they are words that have been said by the snake. It's a lie. He's talking Lashon Hara. His tongue is cut to two. He's lying. He's choosing his way always with you, thinking, what I'm going to tell him now? Be righteous. You're pure. He's going to make you crazy. No matter how, what you want to hear, he'll tell you. And then he will put his poison into those verses. Yeah, of course, serve God. Come, I'll show you the real God. Come. And he'll take you somewhere else, some dark place. No problem. Oh, you want the truth? I'll tell you the truth. And start lying. I'll tell you the truth. I heard once a comedian, he said, whenever a person tells you, I'll tell you the truth, you should know that he's scamming. So he said, say the truth. What the truth is. If you want to say the truth, say, I'm broken, I'm sad, I don't know what to do, I'm looking for my salvation, I really need a salvation, I'm looking for myself, really, I lost myself. Say the truth. Hashem, fix me, Hashem, heal me, Hashem, help me. I wish that that's really your truth. Oh, I want to be an angel, I want to be holy, I want to be a Talmid Chacham. Come on. You're lying. Really, a Talmid Chacham, if you would really want to be a Talmid Chacham, you would be a Talmid Chacham. What a Talmid Chacham is doing? He's learning, he's holding the book. What's so hard doing that? You want other things. You also want to eat, you also want to rest, you also want to have fun, you also want to laugh, you also want to tell jokes that people will laugh from your jokes. You want to cook, you want to... Also, you can want to complain and to hate everyone and to drown in your own selfish sorrow and depression. You feel comfort, you feel comfortable. It's like... I hear music in my mind all of the time. It's a problem that I have. When you seek for the truth, you'll find it. The real truth you will find. And that's the best gift that a person can receive from himself, to find the truth. And the thing is, that most beautiful thing in the world. Look at me for an example. I have that truth inside of me. It's waking me up for years already. Thank God Hashem woke me up from inside and I start thinking and feeling and I see many, many evidence for that, private personal supervision on me, miracles happening to me. And I found something and I'm continuing. Great. And I'm revealing it more and more from one day to the other. Okay, when I look at you, I can say the same. You found something inside of you in one of the days and that thing is talking to you from inside and waking up your spirit from inside and you see many, many coincidences and supervisions on your life and you see and you hear the voice and you... And when you open the Bible, the Torah, and the Chassidut, whatever, you found many answers to your inner struggles and you're finding yourself, right? And that voice is waking up and from one day to the other, okay, so it's happening to you also, and also to you, and also to you, and also to you. And hey, what's going on here? If it's really waking up inside of me and inside of you and inside of him, so there is a huge awakeness. Something is waking up from our inside and making us partners and bringing the real redemption to the world. This is exactly what that happens in front of our eyes. We can see the redemption in front of our eyes. And you don't need to see it over there. You need to see it inside of you. Who am I? Oh, I just found out. I am a truth seeker. I'm a loving person. I'm a very nice person. I'm very sensitive. I'm very sad today. I don't know. I'm very confused. It doesn't matter who you are. As long as you are, if you found something inside of you, that's what you found. So just now, start sifting it, cleaning it. Help it to cleanse it, purify it, wash it. Help it to grow. Nurture it. Give it your attention. Give it your heart to yourself, to who that you are. Let yourself be. You want to be a singer? Go sing. You must sing. You want to learn? Go learn. You want to work? You want to find parnasa? You want to believe? You want to whatever? You want to run? Run. Run, Forrest. Run. No problem. You're going to win the Oscar. You're going to win the Oscar. What's the problem? You're going to find yourself. There is a hero inside of you. There is a quiet hero. There is a wonderful person inside of you. And you need to set him free. To let it go. To be who that you are. You think that the Creator made you to change you? You just need to uncover those husks, those coverings, and to bloom, and to grow, and to be as cute, as nice as you are. You're a funny person. You're a very nice person. You can be also a very quiet person. Who said that because that you're quiet and simple, that it means that you're stupid and dumb? Well, maybe you're very wise. Maybe you have an emotional intelligence inside of you that is super sensitive. Maybe you can see details and to define and to understand huge things that people like blind and deaf cannot understand even the existence of those things in the creation. Maybe you have a spirit of a poet, of something unique. What is the most, like in nature, expensive thing? The thing that is the most rare thing, like diamond are very rare. So diamond are very expensive. Gold is also rare, not as diamonds. This is why it's also very precious, expensive, but not as diamonds, because diamonds are more rare. You are more precious than anything else because there is nothing like you in the world. You're the most precious thing in the creation. You have a face of the Creator that there is no face like that face in no other place in the world. Only you reflect the light of the Creator as you are. And when you have those eyes, so everything becomes to be so precious. Everything, because really there is nothing that's similar, nothing that is the same. And everything, and then everything becomes to be important. And then you upgrade the world. But it must come from inside. It must be your truth between you to yourself. That you, ואהבת לרעך כמוך, you need to love your friend like you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love me. You can't love him. If you still hate yourself, you will hate me in the end. It will explode. You need to work on your love to yourself to be your friend. And then, okay, from that place, you can love everyone. You have the time, you have the patience, you have the understanding, your intelligence is growing, you're getting wiser, your life experience, and now you can understand others. Only when you understand yourself, you can understand others. Only when you can answer yourself, you can answer others. As long as you're lost, you can just mislead other people to walk with you into the darkness. So if you really want to guide other people and you really want to be helpful, you really want something good to, okay, you need to find yourself. That's the early beginning of this process. You must find yourself, your real self, who that you are. Even though that for years you were denying it and hating it and abusing it and then destroying it, humiliating yourself, your real self. Your real self is humble already. He knows that he's nothing. He knows that it's all kindness of Hashem, of the Creator.